everything the traffic will allow. Nowhere could you get that happy feeling when you are stealing that extra bow. There's no people like show people. They smile when they are low. Yesterday they told you you would not go far. That night you open and there you are. Next day on your dressing room they
Wednesday, tax day. It's not tax day. It always feels like it's tax day, right? Doesn't it feel like tax day every day around this time of year?
How are you doing with your taxes? Are you
pretty good? They're all in the closet.
Right.
My taxes are like Kelly. A closeted gay man. Right. Yeah.
So, are you not going to pay this year?
I haven't paid in 3 years.
You keep deferring?
No. Yeah, I'm deferring.
You're just not paying.
No, when I'm going to owe them, I pay them, but I don't really owe them, and I'm still going to get fucked with penalties, even if it's not a lot. And it's just, I got to pay my accountant. It's fucking annoying. My taxes, but I don't have any time. I like literally need time to, that's why we're supposed to go to, Israel.
the Holy Land?
Israel, to meet my Jewish accountant.
Hello.
No, we're supposed to go to Ireland.
Oh, yeah,
but
right.
I told my wife I'm not going. My mom's paying for the trip to Ireland,
right,
for my family.
Sure.
And I got in a fight with my mom. I'm not really in a fight with my mom. I just don't like her. I've just had it, and you know,
what did you fight about?
Just for 50 years of shit, you know. Anyway, so I said no. I told my wife, I go, I'm not going. You can go. I want them to go because then I can get shit done.
Sure.
I love my son. I asked my son yesterday. I go, who's your favorite guy? I said, who's your favorite person? He goes, you.
Wow.
But then he goes, why'd you ask me that? Like, what do you want to go deeper into this relationship?
Right.
He asked me, like, that's a little personal.
He goes,
the answer is you. But I was just like, who's your favorite person? Because he talks about his friends at school. I'm like, is his friends at school his favorite people? Or
you love your dad until you're like 14. Then you want to kill him. So you get about another 8 years of...
The Oedipus thing kicks in. Then he wants to fuck his mom.
Yeah, exactly. You guide it in. You spit on the head of his cock. Put him some rose bushes and go to
that's
town.
That's all from Freud?
Well, no.
You're supposed to spit on the head of his dick?
Well, you rub it in. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just know your wife has a hard time getting wet being married to you.
When you said, isn't that your claim to fame? You have a hard trouble getting women wet?
I mean, I did it once, like back in the early 90s, and the girl squirted all over the place.
You got a woman wet once?
No, it was like mid 90s. I was, you know,
that was a good time for wet pussy, really, wasn't it?
It was the golden years. It was, everyone had dial up, but cunts were wetter.
Oh, Jesus Christ. The city was booming.
Yeah, really was. Everyone was just wearing rain slickers. And just so if Keith is listening, I said slicker. But yeah, no.
Where's Keith?
I don't know. I think he's here. I saw you rock, and of course, Garrett and
John.
No, John.
He's at our satellite office.
Yeah, the new John.
Oh, the new John.
Yeah.
There's a satellite office, really?
Yeah, boy.
What's it called, Sputnik or something?
So anyway, so yesterday I tweeted, you know, I was talking to Chad, right? Chad Zumach.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling Chad, I go, these comics act like they're supposed to be afraid of you, you know? And, you know, if the guy's, like, more successful than you, like, you're going to be like, oh, you're so intimidated. And most people are, to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Chad got in trouble. So then I was telling the story when I opened for Chip Chipperson. So what happened was...
You didn't open for Chip Chipperson.
No, so Chip Chipperson asked me, Norton asked me to do the gig, right, for
$500. Right.
And I had to do time. He didn't tell me when he asked me. He goes, you know, you want to do the gig? It's December 3rd, Philadelphia. I'm like, all right, that's pretty...
December 3rd.
Friday. No, it was last December 3rd.
All right.
So I'm like, okay, yeah, no problem.
Making news.
No, I'll do it. No problem, you know. Take the train down, leave a little early, whatever.
Sure.
So then I do. So I get down there. Then he goes, oh, you know, do like 5 minutes. Then I could bring up Uncle Paul or whatever. Not Uncle Paul, but yeah. Some guy who does stand-up. No, it's one of his characters that he does. Do you know what I'm talking about, Garrett? He does like a character.
Edgar?
Yeah, Edgar.
Oh, okay. Yep.
So Edgar, I had to bring up. I did like 5 minutes. I brought up Edgar. Then Edgar does, he's supposedly prep working out a set for the Tonight Show. So, you know, and it was killing and everything. So then he goes, and then after that, do, you know, a couple more minutes, do like whatever. So that's what I do. Then I bring, then everybody gets introduced and blah, blah, blah. So then I do the gig And the gig goes fine. You know, I didn't kill by any stretch, but the gig goes fine. And then, so then Club Soda Kenny goes, okay, we're going to, we're all going to, yeah, is that him, Edgar? So Club Soda Kenny goes, we're going to all do a meet and greet out, you know, people at the exit. So I go, okay. Right. So then, you know, Chip's at the beginning of the receiving line. Right. And then like me and Karen Feehan and Kumia. Kumia are like, and Kumia's at the very end because he's signing people's books and whatever. So then it takes a long time to go through all these fucking people.
Sure.
So then the line finally is done. We go back to the dressing room. Chip's already, Norton's like ready to go. They're all like, let's go.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, so I guess there's no after party or whatever.
Right.
So then I'm like, hey, can I get a ride back or whatever? And they go, Club Soda Kenny's like, no, we only have room for Karen. Well, Ian. So I'm like, okay, so then whatchamacallit, Christina gives me a ride to the train. I take the train, I missed the train. I get like a 12 something train, Amtrak. Cost me like $70. Right. I get home at 2:30 in the morning, and that's on a Friday, like the 3rd, right?
Right.
So then the next following Thursday, I don't even bring up money. Following Thursday, I text Norton. I go, yo, so is anyone going to pay me or what's going on? Like, I wasn't even rude. I said, like, I had a good time. Who's paying me?
Right.
And then it becomes like this fucking thing. Like, it takes forever. And so it took 2 weeks from that point to get paid. And then at that point, I was just like, and then he actually brought it to the seller and just gave it to Liz, and Liz gave it to me, a check. And I said, you know, this whole thing's fucking ridiculous. I mean, because, you know, Christina's asking for my social one day, and then 3 days later, she's asking for my address. It's $500. I go, after the fucking train, I made less than $400 on the fucking gig. I got to wait 2 weeks for this fucking money?
Right.
I go, it's one thing if a fucking guy doesn't pay you. But this is fucking different because it's comic on comic.
Right.
So it's like comics know, like most shows you get paid when you do the show.
Yes.
Even if it's a check, they still pay you. Yep. Sometimes they don't pay you. Sometimes they go, oh, I'm going to, you know, I'll wait for the check to clear. And even that's very rare. So for him to like, and even when I asked for the money, he wasn't like, oh, let me get on that. He was very, very nonchalant. Like, and then it turns out Karen, he didn't even pay Karen.
Wow, really?
Yeah, so she went down. I guess that's why they gave her a ride home, because she wasn't getting paid. So I think on some level, I think he didn't want to pay me.
Wow.
Like, I think he really didn't want to fucking pay me. And then I asked somebody who works here, a very reliable source. I'm like, is Norton cheap? They go, as cheap as they fucking come. So I think on some level, he's like, he didn't want to pay me the fucking $500, because he had the $500 that night, didn't he?
Imagine.
I have $500. He makes way more money than I do. I have $500 right now. In my pocket or at my ATM, I could just go, here's your fucking money. Instead of going, what's your social? You don't need my social.
No.
For fucking, you don't need a $10.99 somebody on a $500 gig. It's like, for years, it was $600 minimum.
Right.
So $600 or less, you didn't have to fucking $10.99 them. So he didn't need my social. He never needed my address. He could have just gave it to somebody at the seller and go, I gave it to write a check himself.
Okay, so let me jump in for 1 second. So this is 5 months ago. So like, all right, now what?
So I was talking to Chad, you know, and I was telling him, you know, when Norton, you know, whatever. And then since then, and then not only that, since then, he's never asked me to do Chip or his regular show. So it's almost like he's holding a grudge because I wanted the money. And because I sent him a text, an aggressive text, when I finally had it, I go, what are you fucking doing?
Can I just jump in for one
second? This is in December when I sent a nasty text.
Was Chad amazed that you could, in fact, make $500 doing comedy?
Yes. But also, Chad was like, yeah, he goes, if I worked for a comic and he fucking didn't pay me that night, I'd be like, where's my fucking money? So that's like a comic co, where like, we want to get paid that night.
Right.
We don't want a drawn out, you know, one in the hand is worth two in the bush or whatever. So like, you're here, I'm here, pay me. Because then once I don't see them, then it's like, oh, check's in the mail. Oh, why do I need your social? No, you don't. You don't need my fucking social.
Right.
So I said, and I was already in a bad mood yesterday. So then I just tweeted, I haven't been at Jim and Sam's show since last May. Jim Norton really holds a grudge. Fuck them. So I tag Norton. I tag Jim and Sam. I'm like, fuck them. Because also, I don't give a fuck. Like, have me not doing their show hurt me at all? It hasn't hurt me, and doing their show does zero. Ask around. Ask anybody who knows anything. Doing their show does zero. does zero. Not only that, fucking now Chip Chipperson's selling his shit on Gas Digital. He's selling his merch on Gas Digital.
Right.
Chip Chipperson. So again, like, I was supposed to stay at Riotcast. Everybody thinks like I'm a lunatic. I was supposed to stay at Riotcast. They can't even make money off of Chip Chipperson.
Right.
The only show they have that people listen to, they can't make money. Chip Chipperson had to go to Gas Digital, which has nothing to do with Chip Chipperson. So anyway, so I tweeted that yesterday because I was just like, fuck this, because I'm never gonna do the show. I know they probably think I'm doing it to get their fucking show. And I know Sam would be like, his pussy would get all wet because he'd be like, oh, look at this, controversy.
Right.
Real controversy, not fucking fake wrestling controversy.
Well, I did take
you fucking bushy-haired fucking faggot.
I did take the Brad Trackman weekend intensive about how to do AM radio.
Yeah.
He did say controversy is important. So
no, but they'd rather get fake controversy with wrestling, you know? I mean, if you're a grown man and you're into wrestling, come on, man. It's like being into it's like being a woman being into soap operas. Like, it's all fake. It's all fake. It's like, at least those Housewives shows, they're real people. Yeah. Wrestlers are not real people. So it's fucking delusional. So actually, Norton called me yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah, but I was on a train, so I didn't even pick up. So I'm like, fuck this. I don't even give a fuck, you know? But he probably thinks, like, you want to come on my show? No. No, I don't want to come on your show. I'm just saying, like, he, because when he finally paid me, he was like, I'll show him. I won't let him on my show anymore. I'm like, good, I don't want to do your fucking show. And doing your show helps me zero. Right. It helps me zero. But he's like, you know, oh, you wanted to get paid? I'll pay you. I won't let you on my fucking Chip Chipperson, my Jim and Sam show ever again. I don't give a fuck.
Do you think I could do it? I'd like to sell some coffee mugs. Anyway, well, so did you ever talk to him on the phone?
No, it's just like I feel like I had to stand. I feel like and then Opie jumped in.
What did Opie say?
Opie jumped in. We got ourselves a learner to my tweet. Did it get a lot of action? I forgot to look.
3 retweets, 66 likes.
I mean, don't ask me to do the gig. Don't be like, oh, you want to get paid? And then when I get paid, be like, well, we don't like your attitude. I'm like, you're not who you were. Your show doesn't have the juice that it did. So stop. Stop pretending.
Right.
Stop fucking pretending that it's like, oh, if I'm not on your show, my career's going to get hurt. Not at all.
Right.
I'm 2 days a week here. Maybe three. After the break.
We're looking into it. We'll see if Jesus comes back.
When is Easter?
Anyway,
E-Rock, am I 100% wrong or what? All right, E-Rock's not going to say anything on there. The point is, like, I have no problem with Norton, but it's like, I'm just saying, like, when you start dealing with people, then you go like, okay, what are we dealing with? Like I was like Bobby Kelly, and then when I started working at Riotcast, I'm like, you guys are fucking idiots.
Right.
You're fucking idiots. His fucking paywall, which lasted for 3 weeks. I was going to have to do a paywall, and it's just like, it never fucking ends. And then you know, Norton, I've always respected. I've always had nothing but respect for the guy. And then he asked me to do this fucking gig. I do it. They won't give me a ride home. They literally said, we're not going to give you a ride home. They won't give me a ride home. And then he won't pay me.
It's a 5-seater car you got.
No, fuck him. It's Club Soda Kenny. He's a fucking asshole, too. And then he'll be like, oh, you want some? Yeah, I want some. Bring it over. Him and fucking Gary Goldman, all these fucking gigantic Jews. Where do they grow these fucking Jews?
I'm so kidding. He's Jewish?
Probably. Isn't he Jewish? I knew he was a Jew.
You fight full fun. I smell the blood of
Yeah, he don't talk like that. But I'll take on all the fucking gigantic Jews.
Just one.
One in one day. Yeah, we'll put it on pay-per-view.
Sure.
Here.
Big hit.
But he was like, no, we don't have room. So I'm like, so they're all packing up. I got to stand in line for an hour, signing shit. I could have been on the fucking train already.
Right.
I knew I was going to have to take the fucking train
right. And
get myself to the train station.
The train down there. Huh?
You took but that's easier because they run trains more often at rush hour on a Friday.
Can you tell me you saw some unscrupulous characters on the train too?
Yeah. Black people. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know.
Anyway, the point is that once the show was over, it was like, yeah, man, I don't know. Good luck getting home. Good luck getting paid. And then if we pay you, we're not going to, you know, you're not going to be allowed on the show anymore. Good. I fucking pay guests when I pay Barry Ribs $20 when he's on the show here.
On that.
And fucking does Jim and Sam, they pay? Do they give anybody $40?
Do God?
Do they give them fucking breakfast money?
I think you get breakfast.
No, you don't. You get nothing. They don't. I'd rather take the money.
Right.
They like, can you come in and do the show? So I'm not going to do the show. You know, these cheap fucks. I mean, if I was running Jim and Sam's show, I'd be like, hey, here's Mark Norman. Here's $20. So you don't feel like you're fucking whatever.
Well, they don't usually... Mark Norman has a scam already with them.
What does he do?
He only does them when he has to go to the airport.
Oh, so they
and
give
they
him a ride?
They pay for the car ride out to the airport. Yeah.
Pretty smart, actually.
Yeah, but so he does it like in Thursday morning?
Correct.
They say syphilis rots your brain, but he's doing all right.
What rots your brain?
Syphilis.
Anyway, that was that, and people were like, you know, then, I mean, I don't even know. I don't know if I should talk. The problem is, listen, the problem is, you know, I could talk to Norton, and he'll be like, listen, it was a misunderstanding. I don't judge people by what they say. I judge people by what they do.
This was
fucked up from the get-go. We're like, he asked me to come down, and then it's not even a lot of money. This guy makes a lot of money. He's been making a lot of money for years. So for him to be like, oh, I don't know. Even when I asked for the money, he was like, oh, let me see if they can. I'm like, this is a week into it, and you're still acting. It's not like, oh, yeah, sorry, let me get you a check. Asking for 3 days later, then asking for the social, then 3 days later asking for the zip code, and then 3 days later, like, oh, and I'm like, fuck this.
Should have pulled 5 C notes out of his pocket.
And then I haven't seen him since. Yeah, I haven't seen him since then. Because he always gets on early at the cellar or whatever, and I don't see him. But basically, I was tweeting it to let him know, like, hey, man, when I see you, I'm not cool with how shit went down. Because after this fucking Chad Zumok, I'm like, hey, I'm not cool. I'm not cool. Like, don't be like, hey, man, are we cool? Not really. Not really, because you act like I'm your bitch, because you're more successful than I am. Listen, Matt, you weigh 140 pounds.
Right.
Like, stop. And Club Soda Kenny's not with you at the cellar. And Club Soda Kenny, can he even fight? Can Club Soda Kenny fight?
I don't know.
Club Soda Kenny has a black belt in karate, like a
real one. And a black belt and being a Jew.
He was a former cop, too, remember?
What cop?
State trooper, New Jersey.
Oh, come on. So he pulled over fucking black guys for speeding?
But
not
like,
even speeding, just driving while being black? Huh?
When cops could be more physical.
Oh, you, right. You know, that's why they signed up back in the day.
Yeah.
I know I would sign up if I could fucking.
I had an uncle named Cub Scout Kenny, and he can't work with kids anymore.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Thanks.
Thanks for breaking
Matt's
attention.
On the phone if
all
you
right,
want.
All right, Matt. Go ahead, Matt.
There you go.
Okay, Matt, let me just set up Matt. Matt wrote the Greg Giraldo book. Hey, Matt.
How you doing?
Hi, Matt.
Chad Zumok said hi. You're friends with Chad?
I am. I say hi back. Thanks, Chad.
Sorry to hear that. He's not here. I just told me you were going to call in.
Yeah. Number one, who's going to do the audiobook?
Chad is?
No, who's going to do the audiobook for the Greg Giraldo book?
It'll probably be me unless, Chad has a better offer.
Okay. All right.
Right. So tell me how the book started. Like, you wrote it with Matt. What's your full name?
Balaker.
And what's your buddy's name?
My buddy is Wayne Jones. I met him through Kickstarter. It was a Kickstarter funded campaign about 5 years ago.
Oh, okay. And who's the guy on the right? That's Matt.
I'm the better looking guy up high.
You sure are.
Yeah, thank Matt's you. The younger guy, and then I guess that's Wayne on the right, and then that's young Greg Giraldo, the big picture.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
So is this a biography of Greg's?
Yeah, it started, I was at a day job, which wasn't that fun, and then I had a break, and I went on Amazon looking to read about Giraldo, and nothing was on there, so that was my my inspiration to write it myself.
Wow, big surprise. Sorry.
Well, he was a... Don't.
I'm not shitting on him.
Who are you shitting on?
I don't know, somebody. Wayne. Fuck that guy. No, I'm just kidding.
He's not here?
Yeah, he's not here. You're not Wayne,
okay,
right?
So, I mean, I knew Giraldo for a long time, so I didn't read the whole book. I read probably 5 chapters. The stuff I didn't really know about and or I was curious about. So, Did you know Greg? Did you like personally work with him or anything?
I didn't know him. I met him at the Melrose Improv, gosh, probably around 2005. But no, I didn't know him.
So, but you were a big fan.
I love Tough Crowd, and I love the Comedy Cellar. And obviously, I'm a big fan of you, too. And so he was someone, especially after he passed, I just wanted to learn more about. And there wasn't much information out there, so that's kind of what prompted my interest.
How much access did you get to his kids, to his ex-wife, to his family? I mean,
because they have a restraining order against my sidekick.
Right. I love cocaine.
His second wife, Marianne, which is the one he was with for almost 10 years, she was, I think, the third or fourth interview I did. And that was a big help because it kind of opened the doors to people like Gaffigan and Colin Quinn, who were close to the family. And we talked to his ex-girlfriend, but we didn't talk to his kids.
Okay.
So,
Greg was known as a brilliant guy from Queens, Colombian, middle-class family, but ended up going to Harvard, became a lawyer, and then gave it up. And then obviously he had his own demons. Did you discover anything in your own investigation that would surprise anybody?
Yeah, good question. I mean, one thing that surprised me a lot was he suffered from what therapists call the imposter syndrome, and that's a condition where you sort of think you're a fraud. And so if you do something good, you feel you didn't really earn it. And I think that was with him at Columbia. It was with him at Harvard, and it was with him as a comedian. I mean, Colin Quinn told me a few times, Geraldo told him that he was just considering giving up comedy, and not because he achieved what he wanted to, just because he didn't think he was very good at it.
Well, you know.
I was talking to Attell that day. Every time I talk to Attell, he's going to give up comedy because he's not very good at it. I mean, I don't talk to him anymore because I didn't want to end up in a fucking loony bin. But listen, I have my own. I did a.
Go ahead.
Greg always had it. You know, I know it was his demons and everything. But my point is, Greg, I did it. I actually hired him to. He had a car.
Okay.
In 1993.
Jesus.
I had to do a college, in Pennsylvania. I think it was Franklin and Marshall in Lancaster.
Hey, sorry to interrupt, but Jim Norton's calling in.
He is?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Line 4?
Yeah, you mind if I put you on hold, Matt?
No, I want to hear this.
Okay, Matt, thank you.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I haven't heard the show, but Kevin, I heard you were saying stuff on Twitter yesterday, like somebody told me and I saw the tweet, so I texted you yesterday to talk to you, but you didn't get back to me.
Yeah. Is this Jim Norton?
Okay. Yeah. So what's the problem?
Okay. So the problem is, I already said it on my show. The problem was that when I did the gig at Chip Chipperson in Philadelphia, it was like you didn't want to pay me. And then once you did pay me, it's almost just like, okay, so now that I paid you, well, you're not going to do my show anymore because I didn't like your attitude or you wanted me to work for free like Karen. I don't know what the fuck happened.
Wait, one thing at a time. Like, why do you paint? And you know me for 20 years.
Yeah, that's why I was surprised.
Hold on. Let me explain what you're wrong. The way it worked with the chip gig, I think that was December 13th or whatever it was.
December 3rd.
Okay. The way I handle these podcast gigs is my accountant always pays the live shows. I get my bills sent to me once a month. I sign all the checks. That's how I had done it. I wasn't thinking of it in terms of a stand-up gig. I was just paying it the way I pay the podcast gigs. No one has had an issue with that. And sometimes it comes in 3 or 4 weeks. Whenever I get my checks from my accountant, because I submit to him who was on the show, he writes the episode number on the check. This way it's all okay for tax and all that shit at the end of the year. Nobody has had an issue with it. So it didn't occur to me to talk to you about that first. I just didn't think of it. Because I would put the names of who was on that live podcast. My account would send it to me. I would sign the check. So you said that you needed it faster. And I think Christina might have talked to me first. So then I said to my accountant, mail me Kevin's check now, and then I will give it to him. Then you text me something shitty, like there was an issue with it, when there really wasn't an issue with it. Here's what you texted me. Hold on. And I'll read exactly what you texted me. I don't, if you wanted the money faster, but assuming that there was some diabolical shit going on, it just wasn't. Here's what you wrote to me. Why is it taking so long to get paid? Christina asked me for my Social Security number, and now 3 days late, she needs my address. I'm assuming my accountant might have asked her that stuff because it was the end of the year for taxes. That's the only thing I can think of. After travel, I made less than whatever on the chip gig. I hung out around for an hour in the receiving line because I thought it was the right thing to do. I got home at 2:30 because no attempt was made to get me a ride home. Even if I suck, I still get paid. Flat out bullshit, whatever excuse you come up with. Like, that's what annoyed me. Like, I know you all these years. I'm not afraid of you. I wasn't going to lie to you. I would have said, oh, I'm sorry, man. There was nothing behind that. This was the way we normally pay people. And then what I did was, I said to you, I had my accountant make up the check and mail it to me already instead of when he would do it. I figured if I have it, I could hand it to you. You write me, you can leave it with Liz at the Comedy Cellar. If you have it, I'm there tonight. So that night, I left the check for you. And not only did I leave the check for you, I put more on it because you were complaining about the money to get to and from Philly. And I know we had a thing with you getting back home, which, again, there was no shitty motive behind it. I had just gotten a ride from somebody else. So you thought there was something shitty. So not only did I leave you the check that night, I put extra on it. You do not tell me, hey, I got the check. You don't say, hey, man, thanks for putting a little bit extra on it. And not once do you say, can I come on Jim and Sam? Not once do you say, can I come on Chip? And not once do you say, hey, buddy, come on my show, and we'll either be have fun or we'll hash this out. But then all of a sudden, I'm the one with the grudge. Come on, man.
You do have a grudge. I haven't been on your show. So you said
you... No, but Kevin, you didn't say, can I come on your show? So why is it me with the grudge when you didn't even respond to me leaving you the check and you didn't invite me on your show? Like, you're saying you should be able to say to me something shitty. It wasn't like I said to you, hey, dude, fuck that. You get paid when you get paid. All right, you needed the money faster, and I accommodated you.
I didn't need the money faster. No mention was made of the money. And then when I asked you, I gave you a week. I texted you on Thursday. We did the gig on Friday. I waited till the following Thursday, and I basically was like, hey, man, I had a good time at the gig. How am I getting paid? And then you were like very casually like, oh, let me look into it. Not like, oh, this is what we do. It was all like, let me see. And then a week later, Christina's like, oh, what's your social? And then 3 days after that, oh, what's your address? I'm like, are you fucking kidding for $500? So I'm like, what's the holdup? And it wasn't even the money. It was like, why are you not paying me? Like I don't fucking...
Yeah, I just explained to you.
I know, but you didn't explain that to me in the fucking text. You never said, oh, this is what we do.
Because no one else, dude, don't try to get angry about it.
I'm not trying to get angry. I'm saying all you had to say was this is our procedure. Nothing was mentioned about procedure.
That. Whoa, 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 whoa! I did say that.
No, you didn't. You never said it. I'll read the text on my air. You never said this is the procedure.
I just read the text and I said I'll have Barry send it to me before he normally. I had Barry send me the check before he normally would, so I could hand it to you when I see you.
Okay,
I said that to you in the text.
No, it was never explained. It was never explained black and white. It was always like, oh, my accountant's gonna. Oh, and I'm like, what for $500? For $500?
Yeah, because dude, it's the way I pay the podcast because he does all that stuff for me.
That's all you had to say. All you had to say that night. All you had to say before you ran out. You almost left before I was back even in the fucking green room at the.
Well, sorry, I didn't stay there to greet you. As a 30-year veteran, we've both done gigs before. I didn't realize that afterwards I should have dropped roses in the green room.
No, all you had to say was, my account will pay you in a couple of weeks. I would have been like, perfect, perfect.
Because if someone's like,
I just explained to you.
Sure, I should have said that, but it didn't occur to me because that was the way I had done it. And nobody had an issue with it. So it wasn't like I didn't want to explain that to you. I just didn't think of it.
Can I ask a quick question, please? So, Jim, if I understand correctly, if this was like a standard stand-up gig, you would have paid him that night and we'd be done with it. But because it was a podcast event...
I just didn't think of it that way.
Right.
But my problem wasn't even you complaining or being pissed. It was that you thought I would be afraid to tell you the truth. Like, when you said any excuses, bullshit, like, uh-oh, Kevin's... Like, I don't give a fuck if you're mad. It was just a miscommunication. I didn't fucking hold out on the money. Every single person who has done the live podcast has gotten paid the same way. When you were obviously not happy with it, I told Barry to mail that. I didn't realize it was as big a deal. Sorry, there was other stuff on my mind. It wasn't that. And then I wrote you the check, left it for you. And I'm not even, my complaint is that you're acting like I have the grudge. Just own it. You have the grudge. You didn't respond to me and go, okay, I got the check. And look, you were mad that it was late in your eyes, fine. You didn't say thanks for the extra. You certainly didn't say, can I come on, Chip or Jim and Sam? And I said no. Then I could see you saying I have a grudge. And you absolutely did not invite me on your show. So why am I obligated to
invite you on my show? You wouldn't come on the show. You wouldn't come on my show. You don't even do Comey's show. So what are you fucking talking about?
You've never invited me on your show.
Okay, but you'll say no. You'll say no. You're not going to come on my fucking show.
So that's your excuse. You, instead of just owning, so you, I have
no, you
grudge,
have the grudge. I was right. You have the grudge because you didn't like
no,
my text. You didn't like my tone of my text. So you're like, you had the grudge. You're like, you were pissed. So you do have a grudge. That's fine.
This is where you got to just own your shit, man. Like, you started it with a shitty tone. I don't like the shitty tone, and I have the grudge. Own your fucking part of it.
I own it, but I started when we did a gig on Friday, when I texted you on Thursday, read that text from that first text from the Thursday, 6 days after the gig. I said, I had a great time, blah, blah, blah. Who's paying me? And for 2 weeks after that, it was super casual. It was never explained like, oh, I just, the guy, right. All you had to say was my accountant was going to write a check. This is how we do. I would have been perfect. But it was like, Christina was like, oh, what's your social?
Maybe
and then 3 days later, oh, what's your address? I'm like, it's $500. You don't even need a 1099 for this fucking bullshit.
All of that, fine. But to act like I was going to give you a bullshit excuse, like, I was going to try to say something that wouldn't get you mad. Like, come on, man. I don't give a fuck. But don't, the whole grudge thing annoys me because you say to me, well, you know, wouldn't have come on my show. That's not an excuse for you not asking and then giving that bullshit because I didn't invite you. So stop.
Listen.
I was the one who had you on the fucking radio when no one else would have you on. I was the one who had you on.
And he thought you were Neil anyway.
That is why I asked. But you understand what I'm saying? You're acting like I didn't open the door, like my door to you and have you in. I think you're funny. I loved you on the fucking radio show. I always wanted you to come on the show.
That's why.
And then we have that weird
Jim.
Little thing. Kevin, we have that weird little thing that's both of us are a little annoyed. I hadn't been thinking about it. What do you think I'm thinking? I just wasn't thinking of it. And we have that little thing where we're both annoyed. And I own my part. Yeah, I was annoyed about the fucking shitty tone of it. But it wasn't some out-and-out grudge. If someone said, hey, Kevin wants to come on and promote, what do you think? I would have said, no, he might yell. You would have come on. But you didn't ask to come on. And you did not invite me on your show either.
I think Kevin knows he's wrong. He's kind of painted a corner.
No, I don't think I'm wrong.
Listen, Jim,
the reason I was surprised is because it was like, I have nothing but respect for you forever. So I was like, I'm like, did I bomb that night? And like I said in the text, even if I bomb, I still get paid. So then when it was all like, oh, I'm like, does he not want to pay me? And then since I haven't heard from you or seen you since that night, I'm like, oh, he must be pissed that I wanted to get paid or that I had a little bit of attitude about getting paid. So you did, and I was pissed, and you're pissed. So that's how it went down. We both were pissed.
Yeah, but again, it wasn't like I was so angry at you that I was like, fuck, like, you know, just the implication that I would somehow consciously, if I didn't handle it right, had nothing to do with, fuck, Kevin, I thought I was handling it right when I told my accountant, Barry, send me his check because I'll make sure he gets it when I see it.
Ooh, lady accountant.
I did that, and I texted my accountant to send me the check as soon as you get. But you didn't ask me to come on your show either, dude. And if you had asked me to come on, I went, fuck, Kevin, then you'd have a legit right. And then the second I hear something, somebody told me about the tweet, I was on the, and I went and looked and saw it. First thing I do is text you and try to FaceTime you. I try to talk to you privately and in person immediately. And then I hear right now that, E-Rock, you know, because E-Rock, oh, Kevin's bashing you on the show. You want quality? Yeah, give me the number. Like, that's how fast it is. Like, I'm not afraid to discuss it or to talk about it. But if I leave you the check, dude, and you don't say, hey, man, I got the check, I didn't expect you to fall over and hug me because you were annoyed it was late. Okay, fine. But when you don't acknowledge the fact that I gave you extra money for the travel just because you had complained about it, and I was like, yeah, I mean, it was kind of late when he left. So I heard what you said, and I acknowledged it by giving you more. And that was more than anybody has gotten doing my podcast, because you did come down to Philly. I know you're 100% legit con. So I appreciated that, and you didn't say anything to me, but then you act like I have the attitude. Come on, man. It was both of us.
All right. All right, I mean, listen. I got nothing but respect for you. So I don't need this. But it's like I was surprised. I was like, listen, Like I just said on the show, I'm like, sometimes you don't know until you start working with people a little bit closer. Then you're like, okay, I didn't do it. So my point was, I own what I fuck up all the time. So I own it. That's basically my show. So, but like, but in this case, I was like, I don't even know what this fucking thing is. But, you know, sometimes things just get fucked up and then I haven't seen you. And then I was mad. I haven't been mad about it, but I was talking about it to somebody the other day, and he was like, he got me more mad. I'll just say it's Chad Zumach. He got me more mad, and I was like,
Chad get you mad? Like, what is Chad assuming that I'm stealing from? Like, what?
No, Chad was like, yeah, a comic should pay another comic that night. He shouldn't be dicking him around.
It was a podcast show.
But I understand what Chad is saying. But I literally look at these as different gigs just because it's done. It's like my corporation pays for the pot. You know, again, dude, I've done 4 live podcasts. I don't employ people. You know, that's just how I've done it. So I don't fuck it up and forget. Like, I make sure that it all goes through the accountant, because Christina will send me the names of people who are getting paid on certain episodes, the episode number. This way it all goes to him. I actually did that originally to make sure that nobody got screwed out of money.
All right.
Tell Chad Zumach, I understand that, you know, he understands how comedians should interact, but about this one, he's wrong, and he has a fucking stupid laugh.
And you tell that,
Chad.
You tell that. You tell your cousin Ed, he's my favorite Hulk. Hello.
It's amazing.
Did we lose him?
No.
He's here. He's gonna insult you now.
I'd rather go back to arguing with Kevin than hear that fucking horrible joke.
All right, Jim.
Come on. You're welcome on Jim and Sam whenever you want. We love having you on. All and invite me on your show, and I'll come on.
All right. Thanks, man.
Love the shows. Thank you. Guys. He's the greatest. I listen every morning. I do.
I feel like such a fucking. No, he wanted to call me, but I wanted to talk about it on air.
That was good. Should we bring back Mike?
Yeah.
Hey, no, Mike,
Matt,
fuck you too.
Matt,
sorry.
Matt, thanks for throwing me under the bus, E-Rock.
That was entertaining. Thanks for letting me hear that. That was fun.
Absolutely.
Well, when you got a show, it's best to do it and get it all.
No,
sorted out
I didn't.
On the
he
air.
Called me. I was like, I was literally on the light rail when he called me, so I couldn't really talk. And then I thought, like, I'd rather just either talk about it in person or on the air than because I just know, you know, whatever. On the air is always better because you got to end like in mature
exactly.
People.
And it's now been resolved.
Yeah, now it's so
everything's
now, whatever.
Good.
So, yeah, but I like how he goes, E-Rock called me and said you were shitting on me.
Well, I didn't say you trashing or whatever Jim said. I said you were just going off about this. Would you care to call in?
Yeah. No,
and
it was good.
He called in. So it that's how you produce.
I mean, Norton, you can say whatever you want about Norton, but he's a
smart guy too.
He's good at what he does. So, yeah. I mean, I've never said anything bad about the guy. So, no. I was surprised.
Play the tape, please.
I was surprised.
The show never moves a needle. Suck. Fuck. Shit.
I was surprised. I was surprised by like all this because I was like, it was like when you go on a date and you think one thing happened and then you're like, wait, did something weird? Did something like I don't remember it like it like this. Like it was so bad that I'm not that. The money's gonna be weird. But like again, if he would have like I did a gig for Louis and his assistant goes. The check's we're gonna pay you on Tuesday or whatever. So they tell me. So I'm not like so that you know why they tell you that? It's because so that you don't ask them. So you don't so neither one of you's hung out to dry and go, oh, so you don't have to text and go, where's my money? So they told me. Oh, they tell me when they're gonna pay. So for him like not to tell me get paid. Also they were in a rush. They were in a rush to get out, so I'm getting my stuff. They're all leaving. I'm like, can I get a ride?
Yeah.
I'm just tying this thing up. But I'm saying like, sure. So I'm saying like, once nobody said, and then I had to reach out to them. Like, how am I getting paid? So that's why it was bad because comics were comics. Comics want to get paid, and then also it's like, just tell me how I'm going to get paid, and then I have absolutely no problem. I didn't need the $500.
No.
I know you don't believe me, but all right. Sorry, Matt.
No problem.
Okay. So, hey, Matt, by the way,
that should have been in your book.
Yeah. An addendum.
And the next edition will have it. So, thank you.
The Empire Strikes Black. where are you, by the way? Part of the country?
California.
Orange County.
Nice. Orange County. I bet you never get scurvy.
No, not usually.
Okay, great.
That's not me. That's Brian McCarthy making. I like how Norton gets all warmed up to shit on you. He goes, I'd rather argue with Kevin than listen to your bad jokes.
Exactly. So you were a fan of Greg Giraldo's and a comedy fan, and you decide. Have you ever written a book before this?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Do you have a background?
I thought it would be a lot easier. Go ahead.
But I mean, was it like an interview format? Like, what was the process? Like, how'd you put it together?
Yeah, it was an interview format. In fact, there was a really good article. I don't know if you saw it, Kevin. It was about Tough Crowd several years ago that this woman wrote. It was an oral history of the show. And I thought it was very well done. And so I sort of used that as a model. And I talked to Rick Dorfman, who was Greg's manager first.
I know Rick.
And then Jesse Joyce. And so I got all these transcripts down, and initially I was even considering it just making it an oral history. And then when I got this, you know, legitimate author in the mix, that's Wayne Jones, we decided to, you know, pivot a little bit on that and make it more of a traditional story, but with lots of quotes from people.
All right.
You know, the thing was, you probably don't listen to my show, but I'm not a big fan of the disease aspect of this, just because it's my own, you know, I'm not going to say it's my own failing. It's just my own, like, you know, leukemia is a disease, and this is just, I think it's a lifestyle choice because, listen, like I used to play poker, you know, I used to play casinos, and you start at one table and then after a while you get bored at that table. So you always have to go to a higher limit table because otherwise you're just bored, you know? So I think that's, a lot of that's true with drugs and alcohol. You start at one thing, and then you get bored drinking beer, or you get bored smoking pot. It doesn't have the same effect. Anyway, since I've known Greg, he wanted to drink. You know, I mean, I did a gig with him. He drove me. I barely knew the guy. They gave us a hotel in
93 gig.
Yeah, the 93 gig. We're driving to Franklin and Marshall, so they gave us a hotel because they don't. It's just me. I'm just bringing Greg to do a little time up front. And and then he can drive me back, you know, because I didn't have a car. So I figured I'll pay Greg the money I was going to pay the rental car. He can warm up the crowd a little bit. And so then he said, we do the gig and we're back at the hotel just changing or whatever. I don't know. We just left stuff at the hotel. He goes, you want to just hang out here and you want to just sleep in the hotel? I'm like, no, not at all. I don't even know. I mean, I wasn't like I thought he was gay, but I'm like, no, I want to drive back. I don't want to fucking stay in a hotel. But he wanted to party, you know. So, yeah. And then I hired him for a gig in 1990.
Did you stay in the hotel?
No, we just went home. So then in 1995, and just for the record, I always loved the guy. I thought his comedy was tremendous. There was he had, as far as comics go, he had the best personality in comedy that I had ever met. Like handsome, he had a great laugh. Everybody loved him. Right. So he had, in my book, he had everything going for him. He could do voices. I didn't know he was bilingual until I read your book. So
if you knew he was bilingual, you would have stayed in the hotel room.
So then, I hire him for this gig I had in 1995. Same thing. Like we were supposed to meet. I hired two guys to write for me on the thing, Greg and the other guy. I forget. This other guy ended up writing for Comedy Central. He ended up writing for a lot of shows. Anyway, Greg shows up like super late, you know, super hungover. And I was just like, and then another time there was a lot of alcohol involved. Like whenever I dealt with Greg. So I'm not, I know everybody drinks. I know everybody, but I'm saying like, in my humble opinion, it's like, It's just some guys drink and then it gets away from them and then they go to drugs and then they go and then where do you stop? So then and then plus as a comic, you use drugs and alcohol to relax you to burn away your inhibition so you're better on stage. So I just think it's like, you know, everyone's like, oh, his demons. Like everybody has demons. Like everybody has fucking demons, but it's like drugs and alcohol do not help your demons.
Right.
Now, in your research, what did you find out about him that was something that you didn't? I don't think we touched on it yet.
Yeah, you already asked him.
But he didn't answer the question.
Oh, he said about his therapist said that he was a fraud. He's fraudulent. Right.
Is there an anecdote you can share with us that we might not know about?
My point is, the only reason I'm saying it is because I think comics are a little bit delusional.
You think?
Yeah, so for him to think he was a fraud, like I could see when he was in Harvard Law School, he might have thought he was fraudulent because that's some higher echelon shit. But when you're hanging around the Comedy Cellar, with a bunch of fucking losers. Like, you can't be like, hey, I don't fit here. Like, these guys are all geniuses.
Exactly.
It is Dan Natterman.
Guys, don't let him.
So I just think it's in his head, but nobody ever thought he wasn't great. Like, never, nobody ever thought he was like, he didn't belong. Like, he was like the best. He was the best on the roast. I mean, I don't know if he was the best of anybody, but he was great on the roast. He was great on Tough Crowd. His stand-up just kept getting better and better.
Yep.
And then I would read these fucking things of, you know, like the one story where a buddy saw him, a guy he went to law school with, saw him in Michigan, and he killed. And then the next time he saw him, it was at that comedy club in Detroit, and he was bombing, and he was hostile. And it's like, you know, they say stories I heard about Hedberg. Like Hedberg, you know, towards the end, he was incoherent, and it's like, you just gotta fucking stop, you know. So I don't know if it's like demons or it's just like you just like, I mean Hedberg supposedly said he was gonna do every drug possible just to, because he liked doing drugs, you know.
He was also a junkie. Yeah. Greg Giraldo was never a junkie. Do I have that right?
Well, it probably depends on the weekend. I mean, it wasn't just alcohol that he did, but it wasn't like he could go 9 months apparently being sober and then have a bad weekend and fall off the wagon and, you know, go to a dark place and then come back. I think he was probably better than most at covering it up because he doesn't look like the quote-unquote typical addict.
Right.
Here's a funny story. Here's a funny story. This is like 2005 or 6. Anyway, me, Stan Stankos, and Greg Giraldo, we are going to, like, I think Syracuse or some college upstate. Greg hadn't slept all night. He told us. We picked him up. He hasn't slept all night. He's in the back seat all the way upstate, farting, like, because he's just, his body's a mess, you know? And he's and so we get up there, and I'm like, he's going to bomb. He's just going to bomb. There's no way he hasn't slept. He's a mess. He's just I go on second. He goes on third. Kills.
Right.
When the reviews come out, the college paper did a review. They slammed me and they.
You're saying drugs work?
No, I'm saying he did. Well, I'm saying to Matt's point, he was great at covering it up. He was so good that it didn't matter. And that's another part of the problem. Like, some guys are so good that they can just get away with it until they can't anymore, you know? They basically have their cake and eat it too. They're drinking, they're getting high, and they're still fucking killing. So they're like, why shouldn't I keep doing both, you know?
There was always a lot of stories that Greg would joke about his infidelity. Did that play a part in your book?
No comment.
What's in the book, right?
No, he said no comment.
Okay.
What it is?
Or no condom?
Well, what's that?
He said no condom.
He said no condom.
No condom. Yeah. No.
Okay.
So you saying no comment because you know too much, or because it's not in the book?
No, because there's rumors, but you know I could substantiate, and also because I couldn't prove it, and I just didn't want to go there with it because I didn't want to throw out some bullshit that would, you know, compromise the rest of it.
Sure.
So, women definitely liked him. Like, I had my girlfriend Jane, who was a lesbian. She hung out with him. Well, I didn't really. Jane used to hang out with Giraldo.
Fuck him.
I think they would just hang out and get drunk, and then. But she had a thing for Giraldo.
That's a common theme. Yeah.
Yeah, women like Giraldo. He was very handsome. He spoke Spanish. You know, speaking Spanish in the bedroom really helps out, I think.
Hey, you like my culo? Soggy.
So actually, I think Giraldo invited me to his wedding, and I didn't respond because I didn't want to. I thought it would be awkward with Jane there because I was dating. I was living with Jane at the time. So I thought it would be awkward. So, and then he brought it up at one point when he was yelling at me one time. He goes, you didn't even fucking come to my wedding. You didn't even fucking respond to the invitation.
Well, he's got a point.
Of course he's got a point, just like Norton has a point. My point is, I didn't want to be like, here, it's Jane. Remember Jane used to make out with her?
Well, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty common, but I just didn't want to, you know.
Yeah, no, for sure. The only story that I know about Greg Giraldo is when Kurt Metzger told me years ago that he and David Tell and Greg were getting into it all night long. And it was like, you know, 6 a.m. and it's time to go home. And Greg was like, just went out again. He was like, I'm going. He would just go on these kind of big benders.
Yeah.
And he just went out.
He had a lot of energy, I think. Most guys would just kind of.
Why? You think?
No, but he was like an energetic guy. Like, even when you'd see him, even when he was sober, he still had a lot of energy. That's one of the reasons why crowds liked him, because he had like a charisma, an old fashioned charisma.
Wouldn't he write that? Wait, Matt, wouldn't he write the number down of the year he got sober? But then he would like
he tattooed it. Yeah, it was 2005. He initially got sober.
Right, but then he felt the wagon, so he like put a line through it and put another number on.
he crossed it out.
Yeah.
How did you guys connect, Kevin? When did you and Greg start working together? Or whatever.
Harvard.
So the gig. I told you. I don't know when I met him, but I think I just saw him at maybe Stand Up New York, and then I asked him to do this gig, and then we became friends and whatever. I mean, he was always, I always liked him, you know. I mean, everybody liked him. It's not like I was like, hey, I'm going out on a limb here and saying I like the guy. Everybody liked him. So I was always kind of like, and then when he got his sitcom in 96, that made me furious because it came out of nowhere. Me and Attell were kind of like tapping the same waitress, like Attell more than me. And then Geraldo threw himself into the mix because he got a sitcom. So he was like walking around the Comedy Cellar like, hey, ladies, you should be fucking me instead of any of these fucking clowns.
What was the name of the sitcom? Do you remember?
Common Law.
Common Law. And he was only doing stand-up for like 24 months.
Wow. Yeah, it literally came out of nowhere. Even when they said he made the pilot, I'm like, well, they're not going to pick it up. And then when they picked it up, I'm like, well, it's not going to go anywhere. And at least I ended up being right. It's like when you keep doubling down.
Right.
Because they only aired right 4 episodes or something.
Yeah. So did you remember when it was canceled?
Do I remember when it was canceled?
Yeah, like did he talk to you about it? I was just curious.
What
the aftermath was.
No.
I think he started doing drugs.
No, but it was funny because that spring, I took a plane with him. We were doing some show. I forget what it was, but it was like a stand-up show in L.A. And we were on the same plane, and I don't even know how this worked, but I remember we were seated next to each other. I guess the travel agent set it up that way. Because anyway, so he drank the whole time. Like he had like 10 fucking drinks. Because it was a cross country flight, and then I was like. I was like, I guess he's depressed because his show got canceled. I mean, I get that, you know. And then, but even when we got out there, he was fine, and you know, it wasn't like he was like ever like a sloppy drunk. You know, he would get a little mean when he got drunk. Like he wouldn't say. One time he introduced me one of his friends, and he was like drunk or high or whatever at the Comedy Cellar. He goes, this is Kevin Brennan. He goes, his career's been a total failure for how funny he is. I was like, that's a backhanded
kind of
insult.
A compliment too, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like being called the skinniest girl at fat camp.
But is his wife, how's his wife? I mean, I just did the gig for her son's school a couple months ago at the Comedy Cellar. So I see her time to time. How was she interviewing her? Was she like over it? How was she? And I don't want to get anything
awesome.
I don't want to get anything too personal, but how is she with the kids and all that stuff?
Great. Oh, and she called herself a tough mama bear, which makes sense because she loved Greg, and that was clear. But some of his issues were impacting the family, not pissed her off. And she didn't tiptoe. I mean, she said the good and bad. In fact, she was. I was kind of nervous about interviewing her because a lot of the other people were comedians or, you know, celebrities of some sort, and she didn't have too much to gain from this, and she opened up, was very forthright, and it sounds like she's doing well, and her kids are doing well, and, you know, loved him, but, you know, got pissed off at the drug addiction part and had to do what was best for her and her kids.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil anything in the book, but did Greg ever have anal sex with her?
I thought you were going to say, does he die in the end?
Exactly. You should have the audiobook. Ooh.
Yeah, it's sad. You know, the whole time when I was reading the book last night, I wanted to just call Greg and go like, they're saying all this shit about you. Like, I just wanted to laugh because a lot of stuff I didn't know, like especially his early days. So, but it was just funny to me that like to read a book about a guy who's younger than me. And he's been like, at this point, he's been gone pretty long time. You know?
5 or 6 years.
Nine years.
What? Not wow. Good Day to Cross the River and Midlife Vices are two of the best comedy albums I think ever made.
Yeah, he'd be making a lot of money just off of fucking Sirius. Like, he'd be getting so many plays on Sirius.
Yeah.
What's that girl's name?
Judy Tenuta.
No, with the blue. She was, like, affiliated with, like, the blue collar. Kathleen Madigan.
Right.
She makes, like, a fortune on fucking, like, she has, like, I think she has her own network there, or she has her own channel at Sirius. And they just, if they play your albums a lot, if they play your jokes a lot, you make a lot of money,
yeah,
you know?
Great.
His stuff, he was always very prolific. I mean, everybody was saying that in the book, but he was, you know, and he was, but he was a smart guy, so he could make a lot of, I mean, he never had, his jokes were always funny, but they never had too much, like, I'm so smart
no.
to them, you know?
Yeah, that was refreshing.
I mean, he never, like, even in some of the jokes you quoted, it was like, he would start out, you know, like making a pretty good point, and then by the end he was, you know, the joke was, you know, everyone can get it. It wasn't like he was trying to be fucking smarter than the room.
One of his best bits was
right.
he
didn't talk down.
Yeah.
One of his best bits, he would go, why did the chicken cross the road? He'd go, I don't know. He'd go, I don't know either. Do you have any cocaine?
Oh, my God. This is, I didn't know he was going to do this, Matt.
Sorry.
You know, it's funny.
I never heard that joke, so thank you, man. I'm learning
You're welcome, buddy.
Matt, you know, it's funny. You don't know Brian, but Brian does coke. And
I mean, he did
coke last Monday, and we know that for a fact. He might have done it even between now, last Monday.
Oh,
and
no,
today.
I didn't do it last Monday either.
But he drinks a lot. Like, we test him before the show. He's always over the legal limit for being drunk.
Probably a .10 right now.
Yeah. So for him to make...
I can be on the show, but no driving afterwards. So I've got that.
But for him to make drug and drinking jokes is really hilarious, considering
his background. I'm dancing on my own grave.
And he's blind, so he has an excuse. He's legally blind. Plus, he's got demons. Ooh.
Demons.
Daddy never watched me dance. Daddy, watch me dance. I don't like football, Daddy.
Anyway, so are people helping you sell it? Like, is Gaffigan and people like that pushing? I mean, are they tweeting it?
Honestly, the great Kevin Brennan is helping me sell tens of copies right now.
Tens. And, yeah, but seriously, buy the book. Who's the one to go to?
Him.
Me.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I thought maybe the better answer would be his kids.
The kid's like 30 years old already.
They're not 30.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Son's still in high school.
Buy his stuff, too. Buy his stuff. You know, I don't know where all the money goes, but I'm confident that when you buy his albums and his other, whatever he has in Comedy Central, it'll help out the family.
Yeah, buy his, what was the other album? Good Day to Cross Over. What's the other
Midlife
one?
Vices.
Midlife Vices.
They should exhume him and make little coke spoons out of his bones. You wear it on your neck like a little necklace.
I would say that's inappropriate.
Is Matt still there? Hello, Matt.
Hey, Matt.
What's the name of the book? What's the name of the book?
Greg Giraldo, A Comedian Story.
Wow. All right. You should call it Chronicles of Narnia. People love that shit.
that might have been copyrighted, but that's
right.
A good point.
So you can find it on Amazon and various wherever books are sold, or just kind of Amazon.
Pretty much Amazon and some indie bookstores throughout the country, but that's growing. Hopefully, we'll have it more. Retail location soon.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you're listening, buy the book. You know, if you don't, and is there an audio book or not yet?
It's coming. It'll be out in about 2 months, I guess.
Okay, great. So
it
yeah,
will
so
be there.
So buy the book. I'll talk about it on my other show tomorrow on Misery Loves Company because I have a different show and we probably have different listeners. But you know, because people donate to my Patreon and stuff. So I'm saying, like, so our fans are not cheap. So
right.
So buy the book. It's a good read. I enjoyed
it.
I enjoyed it.
Thank you. And we're doing an event at the Comedy Cellar June 11th. If anyone wants to make it.
Oh, good. And it's going to be at the Comedy Cellar, or the Village Underground.
The Comedy Cellar.
And what's the event? What's the event? You're going to have people do stand up.
It's going to be I'll be there, Wayne Jones. I'm sure there'll be a show, too. We're working out the details, but
okay,
we'll also have some people who were interviewed for the book.
I like the book, but it could have used a lot more pictures.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
Maybe
No, that's what idiots say. Where are the pictures?
Right. Or maybe scratch
it. It's in the back after the end notes. I can get you a color one.
Oh, actually, yeah, I might. There probably were pictures that I didn't see because I just saw it on PDF, right?
Yeah, there are a bunch. In fact, some from his high school prom.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because Garrett put up a picture of her that I didn't even recognize him. So probably
is he wearing a sombrero in the picture?
Old picture. No, it's you learn a lot about any. It's just whatever. My point is don't do drugs. Don't just fucking. Especially. Yeah, that's a good picture. But if you're a town, if you're a piece of shit, do drugs. But if you're talented like Greg is, you gotta, you know.
Right.
Or like Hedberg, you gotta fucking, you gotta do, you got, it's just bad. It's bad. Wait, why waste your fucking talent?
I know.
All these hacks, all these hacks, all these Eddie Ifs and fucking guys like that.
Greg Giraldo's dead. Gary Gutfield walks the land.
Gary Goldman, you mean?
That guy, too. Oh. Listen, Matt, good luck with your book, okay?
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Right, thanks, thank you, Matt. Thanks, thank for, you. Thanks for putting yourself right on hold while I...
Yeah, exactly. Aren't you glad you called in? Or... Yeah.
All right, thanks. But seriously, buy his book.
Sure. It'd be great if it was really dirty.
Oh, somebody resigning from MLC News. Is CL still on the line?
What's that?
Hey, Kevin, it's OVO Cool Cat here.
We can't really talk, OVO. I thought, are you doing MLC News? I thought that was Artie Klein.
Yeah, no, I was corresponding with him, but yeah. So basically what happened was he fired me from it, and the only way I can come back and do it is if I do an apology video.
Oh, my God.
Like Chad?
Yeah, exactly. So I really don't know what to do, but so far right now I haven't blocked on Twitter. And the whole reason why he got mad at me is because I called Patton Oswalt a faggot.
Huh. Well, I think he's more of a murderer than a faggot.
You are what you eat.
Yeah. I think that's what I should have said. But anyway, thank you guys. See you next week.
Sure, buddy. All right.
Thanks, OVO. I missed the end of what he said. I was looking for my plug for tonight.
Oh, where you been?
It wasn't like I was not trying to react. I just, me and Aaron Berg are doing something in Weehawken.
Yeah.
500 Avenue at Port Imperial. I think that's right near the train, so I think it'll be easy. House of Q.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
House of Q in Weehawken.
It's like a sex thing.
Yeah, it's a sex thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, should I take the last call or? And then we got to go. We're already over time.
Yo, Kevin, Brian.
Yo.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Daryl from Philly.
Hey, what's going on, man? How are you?
What's going on? Hey, I called in the morning this morning and spoke with Bill Schwartz. he has officially challenged you to a boxing match.
Yeah, but first of all, my elbow's broken. And second of all, if I beat him up, it's going to be a hate crime because he's a faggot.
Well, he said you don't give him any respect, so he's going to force you.
Give him respect? The guy's a drug. He's an alcoholic cokehead. Who has roommates, and he's right. 50, and he's a print journalist.
Be hard to beat up, then.
Huh?
Just do what I did.
Hard to beat, then.
I'll beat him up with one arm.
Do it. Tie one hand behind your back.
Yeah, I'll tie my bad arm behind my back, and I'll still beat him up. And I'll beat up his dumb girlfriend, too, while I'm at it.
Oh, Joanne?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, sure.
Bill says he has a boxing gym ready to go. All he needs you is to accept his challenge.
Okay. First of all, I'm not accepting any man's challenge, and because I'm not a fag. And also, I'm not going to a gym. We're gonna do it right.
Fine.
I can do it right here. We don't need a gym.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're accepting if you do it at Compound.
Yep.
Yeah, and I maybe I wait a couple of weeks till my arm, till my thing. I might have to wear a sleeve.
Come on, you can handle it.
All right. Yeah, I'll talk to him. I was going to Monday. I couldn't really get back to sleep after my kids woke me up to go to school, and I was like in a really bad mood. So I was going to come in and in a really bad mood, and just like as he's talking, I was just going to grab his throat and like start fighting him then. And then punch Joanne with my good arm.
Great.
All right, we got to go.
Good. All right.
Thanks for all the calls.
Kevin's manager, it's on.
Thanks for all the calls. All right. So I'm at Ehrenberg, House of Q, and Weehawken. You know, I get the best gigs, House of Q.
You really do. Right at the train station.
Yeah, and Berg's like, you get free barbecue. Like I'm fucking, like some black dude. I like when people go, barbecue? Like it's, what? Like, you have to have some magic fucking wand to make barbecue. Can anyone make barbecue? Can you get barbecue every day of the week?
Low and slow, baby. Low and slow.
Jesus Christ. All right, thanks for calling. Thanks for Matt. Buy the Greg Giraldo book. Thanks for Jim Norton for calling in.
And then also remember, it's brianpmccarthy.com, promo code HIVPOZ, 20% off the entire inventory. And I'm going to be on Cameo starting next week. Bye.
What the fuck is that?
The thing where you go on and... people can hit you up to do, like, shout-outs and charge them, like...
Oh, yeah. You might make some money.